Next topic. The next topic is state transitions, structured data are still parts of the protocol. This half object is a sort of programming pattern that you'd be using. So a bit more about protocols in state transitions.
Okay.
And what this part is about is that standalone applications make use of things like global variables or fields within objects to try and keep track of the state. When you're moving to the network version, there's a question of whether you want to keep state about the other side. A lot of these state things you may not see explicitly, but supposing you're reading through a file as an ordinary application, there's this concept of the file pointer that says how far you've got through a file. Every time you read another character, the file pointer moves on one character, and so on. If you're doing a screen application where you might want to keep track of where the mouse is, you keep the mouse coordinates in some variables. If you're doing a banking type thing, you might keep track of what's the current customer ID, perhaps, so you know which customer you're dealing with. But as soon as you move into the distributed situation, you still got the state information. It has to be kept somewhere, but it may be in the client, it may be in the server, or you may decide that client information is also going to be kept in the server, and server information is also kept in the client. And you have to just look at whether it's keeping information, one part of it, whether it's keeping information about itself or whether it's keeping information about the other process. In terms of keeping information about yourself, if you're the client, you know who your user is, you can have any number of local objects and it doesn't make any difference to the server side. But as soon as you start transferring information across where one side keeps information about the other, then you have to be a bit more careful. Okay. Give an example of two different file systems, the DCE file system and the NFS file system. Both of them allow you to have files on a remote server which appear as though they're local files. So they appear as part of the file system in some way. This is done by a client-server mechanism. So you've got a client which is trying to read a file, and it's reading it across the network. And the question is, who's going to keep information about where you are? If it's an ordinary standalone application, then the file pointer just gets moved up automatically. But as soon as you've got the remote one, well, who's keeping information about open files? So what the client would do would say to the file server, I want to open a file for reading. And in the DCE system, the server then adds to the file table which file the client wants. And every time the client does a read, not only do those bytes go back, but the file pointer is updated over on the server side. So the file server is doing those updates. And what it means is the client doesn't know whereabouts you are in the where it is in the file. It just does successive reads, and it's up to the server to keep track of where it is in the file. So this is just like an ordinary file system would work. The NFS system doesn't do it that way. The NFS system says it's the client's responsibility to keep track of whereabouts in the file you are. So that when the client says to a server, well, the client doesn't even tell the server that it's opening the file. So the server doesn't keep a file table. What the client does is keeps the file table. So when the client says, I want to open a file, it stores that information locally and says, okay, when we open it, we're at the beginning. And now if we read 10 bytes, then it will update that file pointer to say, we're now 10 bytes through. If it says read 100 bytes, it would update it to say, we're now 110 bytes through. So what that means is that when you send a message, not only do you have to say how many bytes you want to read, but you have to say where you're starting from. So after you've read 110, if you want to read another 20, you say, read 20 bytes starting from 110 is the message that goes across to the file server. So the client is keeping information about what it believes the server state is going to be. Why it does that? Okay, the problems that can occur with the DCE mechanism. This is fine, the server keeping this information, as long as nothing goes wrong. But what happens if the client opens the file and then crashes? Or something dies in the network. If the client's opened the file, then the server will have made an entry over in its file table. If the client then dies, what it's basically got then is a stale entry, something that nobody is using, but it doesn't know how to clean it up. Because if the client says close, then the server can remove it from the file table. But if the client doesn't say anything at all, because it's dead, then the server doesn't know whether it's dead or whether it's just taking a long time. So basically, if clients die, then the server gets garbage in its file table and doesn't know which is garbage and which is genuine data. So if it works fine, okay, but if it doesn't, then you've got a problem. So what's happening here is that the file server is keeping some sort of state information about which clients have got files open, and things can go wrong there. The alternative, NFS, that doesn't have that problem. If the client crashes, well, the file server doesn't care because the file server has no information about the client. If the client's gone, well, just carries on. If the file server crashes, well, it doesn't affect the client either. Next time it tries to do a read, it'll discover that the file server's not there and can handle it. So although there's more work involved in this case, because you've got to send not only the number of bytes but where you are, it's a more robust system in that you don't have to worry about garbage collecting over on the file server side. Okay. This can be addressed by more complicated logic. And have any of you done distributed databases, ACID transactions? One? Okay. What happens if you want to make it robust so that it doesn't matter if people are crashing and dying around you, you have to do this thing called transaction management. And what happens with transaction management is that you may have three or four different parties involved in it. You're transferring money from my account in one bank to your account in another bank. And you want to make sure all those transactions go through correctly. You need to keep state information about which account you're transferring to and so on. And the ACID transaction mechanism tries to make sure that everything sort of works together. So when you start a transaction, you move into a beginning state. You then move into another state where you think everybody is right, everybody's prepared, then you commit, and if anything goes wrong, you roll back to an earlier state. So there are some quite complicated mechanisms for ensuring that that information stays up to date and doesn't get out of sync. We'll only go as far as looking at state transitions, though. And what we need to do with state transitions is, if you're keeping some sort of information about someone, you may want to do it through a state diagram. Probably the most likely cases that it'll occur that you'll see is if we add in, say, a login mechanism to the file transfer. So you do a login when you want to authenticate the user beforehand. So check who the user is before you allow them to do anything else. So what will happen is, before they can do anything, they have to succeed in doing a login. So we'll put two states there. This is the state they start off with, the login state. And when they succeed, they could move to the file transfer state, where they can then get on with the rest of the stuff. And there are state transitions. How do you move from one state to the other? Is at the beginning, if they succeed in logging in, then they move to the file transfer state. But if they give wrong user ID, wrong password, they just keep circling around and don't get out of the login state. Once they moved into the file transfer state, they can do all the get messages, the directory listings, quit would take them out of the application, and log out would move them back into the login state. So the one way of representing it is as a diagram like at the top. The other way of representing it is as a table where you say, what is the current state? What are you trying to do? And what happens? Where do you move to from there? So from the login state, there can be two transitions, a successful login or a failed login. If you fail login, then you just go back to the login state. If you succeed, you go to the file transfer state. File transfer has got three operations you can do within that state, dir, get, quit, and dir and get both move you back into file transfer, quit moves you into the quit state, log out moves you back into the to the login state.
Okay.
When you look at the client and the server, both the client and the server have to keep track of which state that they are in at any time. Supposing, okay, the client has succeeded in logging in. The type of messages that can be sent between client and server when you're in the login state can only be login messages. The messages that can be sent between client and server when you're in the file transfer state can only be dir, get, quit. So once you've succeeded in logging in, okay, so once you've succeeded in getting to the file transfer state, you can't do a login again because you're already logged in. If you're in the login state, you can't do a dir because you haven't reached the file transfer state. So depending on which state you're in, there's only certain messages that can be sent between the client and the server. So in the login state, you can only send login messages, file transfer, those three, get and quit messages. So you've got a client state transition diagram and what the client can do in the different states and the server state transition diagram, what the server will expect in those different states. So if the client is looking at starting off, you start off in the login state, what you can do is write messages to the server, and the replies that will come back from the server are either fail to log in, in which case the client should stay in the login state, or you succeeded in logging in which case the client has moved to the file transfer state. And similarly, change directory. These messages can be sent once you're in the file transfer state of cd, get, and dir, and quit, and you'll stay in all of those file transfer states until, I haven't put in the logout message. Logout state, you move to a login state. Okay. So different messages corresponding to different states. And pretty much the server has to have the inverse table from this, that the server would be saying, if the server is in the login state, then it will only accept a login message. And once it accepts a login message, if the login succeeds or fails, the server will also move into either the login or the file transfer state. Once the server is in the file transfer state, the only messages it will read are cd, get, and dir. And the messages it will send back are the messages we talked about before, but it also moves into the file transfer state. So this just limits a little bit what messages can be sent and what messages can be read as soon as you put the state information there. What the server pseudocode would do is it just makes it a little bit more complicated in decoding things because you have to add in the state information. So you have an initial starting state, say both of you starting in the login state, you read messages from the client, and then the action that you take is going to depend upon which state you're in. So switch between either you're in the login state, you're in the file transfer state, or something else. And then if you're in the login state, what are the accepted messages you're getting from the client? So you're only going to be reading names, passwords. If that works, you write succeeded and switch into the file transfer state. Otherwise, if it didn't succeed, you fail and stay in the login state. And the rest of it, similarly for file transfer. If they start with a change directory message, then get the directory, all that kind of stuff. And at the end of it, the state stays as file transfer. So you just make it a little bit more complicated by putting a switch statement in and different messages in there. Any comments? No. Okay.